previously on Love and Justice.
I remember Ashley getting threatened by somebody that they would hurt her because of an order, a customer. I remember it happening. People in that mall would be crazy. I know some people had the theory that it was somebody she met at a party or something like that. You don't want to be the rat, but let's say it flat out now, like, there's something that fucking happened. There's definitely something that happened at one of these parties. There's no way it would be anything else, because Ashley was not the person to do anything in her life other than Arby's, schoolwork, and be at home until they started doing that. There was nothing else she was doing until the partying came. I'll say it flat out. Maybe she turned a guy down at one of these parties that was a little bit in the Night of the Wolf mood, you know, and that pissed that dude off. There were illicit drugs involved at those parties. Cocaine, other stuff too. So you can't tell me that somebody who was there did not have the mindset to be able to do something like that.
Welcome to Love and Justice. I'm your host, Kyle Olson. In our last episode, we talked with Brighton, the manager of the Mayfair Mall Arby's, and Ashley's boss leading up to the time of her death. He shared with us his theories about what happened to Ashley and opened our eyes to some new perspectives. Did something really happen at one of these parties? Did Ashley have a secret life or secret friend that she was trying to hide from others? Today, we are talking with Kia, a close friend of Ashley's who was born just 23 days apart from her. Hello, is this Kia?
Hello.
Oh my gosh, it's so great having you join us. I think you are one of those people that has probably known Ashley the longest. Is that right?
The first time we met, I was in K-5 and I was visiting St. Philip Neri at the time to see if I would like to go to that school. And she was one of the first kids to come to me, introduce herself, and really wanted to be my friend because I was like super shy at the time. So that's how that started, actually.
Wow. So she was almost a contributing factor for the reason that you might have gone to that school, huh? What do you remember about Ashley as you were growing up together?
Ashley was the centerpiece of our friendship group. Ashley tried to get all the girls in the class together and try to get them to be friends. Ashley was really big on that. Ashley was the glue to pretty much everything. Like, whenever we had a problem, Ashley would be the person that would be the first one to solve it. It was mostly because Ashley loved helping people. She never wanted anything negative or anything bad around her aura, if you will. I guess that's the best way to explain that. But Ashley was always that person. She was just always warm. Her aura, her soul was always warm and happy. And she just wanted people like that around. She didn't want anybody fighting around her, anything like that. She wasn't that type of person. She was never scared to do anything. She was really tall for a little girl. Ashley was. She was really tall. She always had that one smile that can literally bright up a room. A number of things me and her used to talk about, like, you know, the next Harry Potter movie or the next book that's about to come out. Me and Ashley definitely did confide in each other when it came to like little gossip secrets. Definitely had those moments together. We did hang out at each other's houses a lot. Sometimes we would go to the park and play. I feel like that's when it really heightened, and just going out by ourselves, like to the movies or to the mall, that was just a plus. Once me and Ashley got to high school, I mean, yeah, she went to Pius, I ended up going to a different school. We definitely kept in contact, but I feel like our relationship was close, even if we didn't go to the same school. It was kind of fun not going to the same school together. I feel like our friendship was a lot closer only because we didn't see each other that much. But it gave us time to talk about our day or what happened, who we possibly liked. It was a different type of feel. we had a better relationship. It just felt like we weren't even friends at that point. It felt like we were actually family.
Now, when you both graduated high school, did you two stay in touch?
Absolutely. I stayed in touch with her. I ended up going to a college called UW-Richland. It was definitely over the phone. Me and her would talk, especially after 9 o'clock, because, you know, minutes at the time. I ended up getting Facebook for a little bit, so we did talk on there. We would mostly play like Farmville when that was a big thing. Me and Ashley would definitely play it. She'll send me like little baby elephants or something like that.
So let me paint a picture here. You've both graduated high school. You are up in northern Wisconsin at UW-Richland, and meanwhile, Ashley is still here in Milwaukee, working at Mayfair Mall. At this point, she had not begun any sort of college or post-high school education. Did you guys ever talk about why that was?
I feel like Ashley kind of took a break from the school because it's like, okay, she was a perfect straight-A student. She wanted to have a break. So I feel like she was trying to still find herself and probably develop a new personality. But Ashley was still kind of the same, if you will. She still had the same personality, but I feel like she wanted to let loose of that. Like she wanted to start off fresh and try out different things, different hobbies. I feel like at the age of 19, you know, you kind of try to adventure out and try to sneak out and do things that you're not supposed to do.
Can you clarify for a second what you mean by she wanted to let loose? Are you saying that Ashley wanted to go out and experience boys, or?
Ashley definitely wanted to be someone that she wasn't. Like, imagine Superman, he has like his little cover up as Clark Kent because nobody could, you know that he's Superman. I feel like she was trying to something new, things that were definitely different for her.
Uh-huh. And how exactly do you think she wanted to go about that?
She wanted to be like the bad girl. Like, I know nobody really knew this about her, about Ashley, but there was one point in time where she wanted to, you know, kind of go sneak out and do something different for a change. Ashley was always a star student. She was all, you know, getting straight A's. And I think she wanted a break from it because she always studied. Ashley always studied hard. And she didn't really want to do that at that time. She just wanted to take a break and, I guess, try to live her life, like explore different options before actually starting to go to college. I just feel like she wanted to let her hair down and explore those options. She had a desire to explore them, but she never really acted upon exploring it. I think it was an angel on her shoulder telling her not to do it.
What Kia is saying here makes a lot of sense. With Ashley being valedictorian, a leading star on the basketball team, and working at Arby's, she didn't have much time for exploration during high school. Ashley had a glowing reputation, and while that came with a lot of pressure, I don't know how pressured she was by boys and friends to potentially start a new relationship. But once the pressure of school commitments was released at graduation, Ashley finally had an opportunity to explore herself and her surroundings. She chose to work full-time at Arby's and put off college until she knew what it was that she wanted to do. Further, she finally had time to be social and party with her coworkers who she enjoyed spending time with. Perhaps it was here that she finally met somebody that she started to have feelings for. Either way, Ashley's newfound time also gave her a chance to dive into more things she was passionate about, like spending close time with good friends.
So Ashley and I had plans for the weekend of the 10th of October to, you know, have some girl time and go to Mall of America for my 19th birthday because she turned 19 the month before.
The weekend of October 10th being the weekend after she was ultimately murdered.
And I remember it was like maybe 10 at night when that happened. On the 4th of October, we were on the phone and we were talking about going to Mall of America for my birthday because it was on the 10th. Ashley was supposed to come to Richland Center and spend the weekend with me, and we were going to drive from Richland Center to Minneapolis. Well, Minnesota, I think it's in St. Paul, wherever Mall of America is. That was the last phone call I have had with her. The last words I remember her saying is, "I'll see you Friday." That is the last time I've talked to her, to Ashley.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And how did you find out about what had happened to Ashley?
I was in Spanish class when this happened, and I'm getting like phone calls throughout my lecture. I'm like, okay, let me see why everybody's calling me. Because it's like people from our grade school, like Jermaine, Whitney, everybody was calling me because most of us kept in contact throughout high school. I'm like, why are you guys calling me? Ashley's dead. And I'm like, what Ashley is dead? Because of course I'm like, you can't be talking about my Ashley. You can't be talking about my friend. There's no way. I just talked to her. Like, no, it was all on the news. So I literally hung up. I'm still in shock. I call my mother and I'm like, "Mom, is the news on right now?" She was like, "Yes." And my mother is crying. And I'm like, "Why are you crying? What's wrong?" And she was like, "Your best friend was killed today." When I sit here and tell you everything, all the tears, all the emotions, literally came like a flood. I was in shock. I didn't know how to even. I felt like my heart just broke. It just exploded and broke. Instead of going to Mall of America, I had to tell a friend, like whoever could come with me. I think her name was Missy. Yeah, Missy came with me. And I was like, "You know what? We can't go to Mall of America. I have to go home. Because I have to be there for the memorial. I have to. I wish she could be in this interview, but if she could, she will sit here and tell you for the next 3 days before coming to Milwaukee for the memorial, I did not eat anything but cookies and drink coffee. That's how distraught I was. I couldn't even go to class or anything because it's like, that's a part of me that was just taken away. Like, that was my best friend, like, I knew for so long, and, oh, I'm starting to get emotional here. That part of me just broke. It was heartbreaking. It was, I wish it was, like, one word where I could explain everything, because I'm crying all the way back home. But it was just more so, not just sorrow, but anger, because it's like, who would do something like this to her, to Ashley? And what was the motive? I didn't even have any theories at the time because Ashley wasn't really that type to like get into trouble. I don't even recall her being in a relationship. I mean, if she had one, I mean, none of us knew about it. So with my theories, I didn't really have any. I was just like, okay, she was murdered in cold blood. But why?
Did you attend Ashley's memorial or funeral?
Only the memorial. I wasn't able to make the funeral.
When Ashley was taken from us, there were two events held to honor her legacy. One was a traditional funeral that happened about 2 weeks after she was killed. The other event was a memorial that happened just a few short days after Ashley was killed. It was a chance for family, friends, colleagues, and even teachers to come together and honor Ashley's life and legacy. But more than that, it was a chance for everyone to slowly start trying to comprehend what had just happened to Ashley, together in one space. The memorial was held at Pius High School, where Ashley had just graduated a few months earlier. The event was closed to the public, and no media was allowed inside. The only camera allowed access inside was mine. and I recorded the entire memorial so that one day, when the Love family was ready, they could watch this back and hear all of the nice things that were said that night about Ashley.
I definitely went to the podium and I started crying so hard because I didn't know the words at the time. I didn't know what to say because of all the anger and sorrow. Like, it was all mixed together. One of the things that I did say was Ashley was a very good friend. She had a beautiful soul. She really did. And it really sucked because that was literally my birthday.
Oh, wow.
When the memorial happened.
Wow. Your birthday was literally that day.
I didn't know how to say the words to come out at the time. I was just so flustered. That feeling was horrible. Like, you're expecting whatever best friend or friends you have in childhood and you still are connected to them, you're kind of expecting to grow old with them. Like, Ashley could have been here right now. She could have been a doctor, a scientist, and had a family, all that kind of stuff. We all could have grew up in different ways. And at that point in time, it hurt because not only did I just lose a friend, she was the second person that was so important to me that I lost. So it hurt. It felt like I was just stabbed so many times. You can't shake that feeling.
Now, Kia, one of the main reasons that we're talking with you today is because you wanted to share a recent experience of yours and some thoughts and theories that you've had on Ashley's case.
I have a friend named Mimi, and how do I want to explain this? She can talk to spirits, if you will. I wasn't too sure about it. I was a little skeptical about it at first. I didn't really know how to really believe it. There was a certain pendulum she has, and she has this map, and the map is like, you can only ask yes or no questions. But in order to know if they're your ancestors talking to you, you have to ask personal questions to make sure it's them and not somebody else. So she uses a certain pendulum. I think hers is a clear quartz crystal. And there's like a little map that she has to use, and it has no going vertical and yes going horizontal. And she uses the pendulum, she holds it a certain way, and if you ask a yes or no question to the spirits, it'll either swing on the yes or on the no.
What Kia is describing is similar to what people may more commonly refer to as a Ouija board, a device used by mediums to connect with the other side. Kia uses the phrase ancestors, but tells me that this map and pendulum can be used to connect with anybody who has crossed over. Unlike a Ouija board, which features a full alphabet, this map that Kia's friend Mimi uses only features two words, yes and no. The concept in reality is simple. Those who have these gifts can attempt to communicate with the other side through a series of yes or no questions. The mediums will read this question and await a response. This can continue until the reading is done. If you are listening to this with a bit of skepticism, you're not the only one. Kia herself was skeptical going into this too.
I was a little skeptical, but I wanted to see if I could possibly talk to any of my relatives, because I recently had lost my grandmother on my father's side last year. And, you know, it'll be nice to possibly see if she had any messages for me, or there was a lot going on that I will go ahead and say. There was a lot going on in the family at that time.
So how does an experience like this even begin?
She gets everything set up, like between candles, oils, you know, protection stones. So the first person that comes up is my grandmother on my mother's side. I talked to my grandmother for a little bit. And then Mimi had said, well, she's not alone. There's someone else. And I'm like, okay, who else is with her? Mimi felt a chill. Like, she didn't really know how to explain it. But she was like, there's someone else here. But it doesn't feel like a relative. It feels like someone you're close to, but definitely not a relative. And I'm like, okay, who could it possibly be? The only person that I could think of was Ashley. Mimi asks this question like, Ashley, are you here? And the pendulum literally starts spinning, well, swinging, yes. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna ask her a personal question.
Okay, so there's a little bit of skepticism here, right?
Yes, I had to confirm because whatever secrets we've told each other, she would know the answer to. So I asked Ashley the first question. Yes. So my first question to her was, is your favorite color blue?
And was Ashley's favorite color blue?
Yes. It swung yes. I was like, okay, all right. That was an easy question. That was an easy question. My second question was, were you the person that got me into Harry Potter? She said yes. Ashley said yes. It swung yes. I was like, okay, you're the only person that really knows that. So I feel a bit of relief because, you know, I'm still, you know, bitter about what happened to her. You know, we still don't have answers to Ashley. And it's like a bittersweet moment. Like, I'm happy that, you know, she's still in this realm. And it's like, basically, she just never left at this point. I mean, I had excitement for it, but I think it was because I always felt like she was still here. I mean, to talk to her, of course, definitely exciting, but I always felt like she was always still near me.
So now that you've confirmed that it's Ashley, what do you do next?
I asked Ashley, do you know the person who murdered you? She said yes. I just end up asking, was it someone that I knew? And Ashley replied, yes. I'm trying to find in my brain, like, who it could possibly be who murdered her and that I knew. Mimi had asked, did we go to high school together? Me and the killer. Did we go to high school together? Ashley replied, no. It swung no. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's not high school, it has to be junior high. That's the only logical answer at that point. So Mimi had asked, did we go to junior high together? Ashley said yes. So now I'm just in the moment where I'm like, okay, I can only think of two people. The first person that I guess is Alan. That's the first person. Alan is one of our classmates. As I ask that question, the pendulum spins no. So Ashley answered no. So I'm like, okay, that's off the list. It's definitely not Alan. So the person that I ask about to Ashley is Tommy.
A quick note here as we begin this story. At the request of Kia, we are concealing Tommy's real name. Why do you think it could be Tommy?
5 days after she was taken from us, Tommy decides to, you know, call and see what I'm up to because he hears that I'm in town. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm in town. I'm here for Ashley's memorial. So he was like, well, maybe me and you could hang out or meet up and just talk for a little bit. And I was like, sure, but I have a friend, Missy, who's also with me. So, of course, that's my transportation. So we go down this alley to meet Tommy.
An alley?
An alley.
Okay. And who chose the alley?
Tommy did.
Tommy chose the alley. Why?
I guess he said the back, pretty much the back of his house is where he wanted to meet us. At the time, I was delusional. Like, I trust this person, you know?
Because you had grown up with Tommy and you had no reason to essentially believe that Tommy had anything other than good intentions.
Exactly.
Got it. Understood. Okay, so you're in the alley.
Tommy gets in the car and we're just talking. Next thing I know, like maybe not even a minute later, like maybe 30 seconds later, a guy, like I don't know who this is, but a guy runs up to the car and robs me and Missy at gunpoint.
What? Wow. And what did you end up handing over? Everything?
The guy just wanted money. And all I had was $7 on me.
And it was clear that Tommy knew this guy.
Yes. Yeah, he actually leaves like 5 seconds after the guy leaves. He was way too calm for that scenario. So I feel like me and Missy were set up by Tommy. I still do have those flashbacks of when that situation happened.
So with this knowledge kind of in the back of your head, this is why you presented the name Tommy to Ashley during the spiritual reading, because you vividly remembered this happening the weekend of Ashley's memorial when you were in town.
I asked this question about Tommy to Ashley, and I asked her, is Tommy the person who killed you? And when I tell you that pendulum swung to yes multiple times so fast, Mimi felt a chill down her spine after that answer. I also felt a chill as well, so I'm just like, I'm in shock at that point.
And what are you thinking in this moment?
I was in shock for like a moment, because that's when everything kind of started adding up. This really fit together for me. It fit for me. So I have chills. I'm thinking it would make sense. I always felt it in my heart. It was never random. Nobody's about to sit here and go into a house and kill a specific person and then leave everybody else alive. This was definitely somebody who's been in that house, because if you have been in the Love's house, Ashley's room, it was like a treasure hunt, because we knew they had it upstairs, but how do you get upstairs? So in order to get through that house, you couldn't go through the front door because something was always blocking the front door. I don't know what that situation was about, but something was always there.
You're right. I remember this. It often changed, but it was either like a couch or a piano or something.
Something, yeah. But in order to get into the house, you have to go through the side door. Going through the side door, you only see a hallway that leads to the basement, or you go through the kitchen. Ashley's room used to be on the first floor, but that's when, you know, she was a kid. And then she wanted her own space, so she ended up going upstairs to the second floor. But the door to her room looked like a closet door. So that means that person has been in that house more than once and knew exactly where her room was. And I still believe I always believe this was never random for them to murder her the way that they did. This was something personal.
See, I tend to agree with you. I think Ashley was targeted, but what do you think Tommy's motive would be for something like this?
He was known as being one of the best athletic players, if you will. I won't say what sport he played, but he was definitely in a lot of sports at the time. He was also one of the popular guys. Tommy was. So between Tommy and Ashley, when it came to like certain ceremonies, like, okay, best player of the year, they used to be neck and neck. Tommy and Ashley were not really friends. They were classmates, but it was like, hey, you know, if you're going to do homework, you know, let me copy off you or something like that. So the only reason why he didn't pique my interest at first of people I would think would possibly have did something to her is because Alan was the exact person I thought would have did something to her. He was always a weird kid, but once it got to Tommy, it was like, why would Tommy do this? Like, what is the point? Did Tommy have a crush on Ashley? And she just refused. In certain cases, like when women reject guys, especially in this day and age, and mostly black women, white women too, but mostly black women, if a woman rejects a guy, anything is possible to happen. They can either stalk you to your house, they can murder you, which is pretty sad. It's really sad. So that's what I kind of felt happened between Tommy and Ashley. She probably rejected him. He didn't take it well. And maybe he was trying to pursue her. Still wasn't going well. She wasn't into him. And that probably caused him to go into a rage and murder her. That's how I felt happened.
Interesting. So let me play devil's advocate here for a second. You think Tommy had been to the Love's house, even though they weren't really friends?
I think there was a certain point in time where he's been to the house.
Why do you think that?
My theory is she probably wanted to try something new, because what I mean new is Tommy was kind of a bad boy, even though he started to be a bad boy once we started high school. He was more so like, you know, like a lot of girls like the bad boy type. Every girl goes through that phase. And I feel like that's what happened. She wanted to try something out. She wasn't enjoying that situation. She probably just told him, like, you know, I'm not really interested in you. It was fun while it lasted, but you're not a person that I want to pursue me, and I don't want to pursue you. So I think rejection is what made him do that.
And do you think these encounters between Ashley and Tommy happened after high school?
Yes, I feel like this came after high school.
Okay. And just so we're clear, this is more speculative than fact, right? Like, this is an educated guess based on what you heard and know and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just to confirm, Ashley never told you that Tommy was coming over.
No. Well, not just me. She didn't tell anybody.
So as far as anybody knows, nobody has had any kind of record or recollection of Tommy ever coming over and really kind of hanging out with Ashley. But you're saying that this fits into the narrative you mentioned earlier with Ashley being interested in experimenting and kind of putting her hair down.
Exactly. I feel like it's possibly started in the summer. If she was going to experiment, if you will, experiment with Tommy, it would have to be when nobody was home. I feel like it happened when nobody was home. And then that would probably explain why we never knew if Ashley had, you know, secret love or anything like that. I mean, even though Kayla was automatically the first best friend, she wouldn't have known. I feel like she wouldn't have known either.
Imagine, if you will, a girl who had just graduated high school. The world is her oyster. She isn't going to college, but she wants to have some fun, let loose, and experiment with boys. But not just any boy, the bad boy. It's the middle of summer. Tammy, Joe, and the rest of the Loves are gone at a baseball game. And Ashley decides to call Tommy over for some summer fun. It's a fling, but it's not serious. Just experimenting. As a result, Ashley wants to keep it quiet. She's an independent young woman embarking on a new phase in life. Like so many 19-year-olds, she doesn't feel the need to tell everybody about every single choice that she's making. She's more confident now, and she can make her own decisions. She is living her young adult life. Is this theory that crazy? Kia's theory matches the Milwaukee Police Department's theory about the secret friend. It's the only theory that the police department has ever vaguely made public. Investigators have said, on the record, that Ashley was likely seeing an acquaintance in secret. Tommy even has a close enough physical description to match who the police say could be a person of interest. We've all had a crazy night, especially the summer after high school. Could this truly be a case of two kids freshly graduated, expanding our freedoms and trying things out? It's not uncommon to be attracted to someone who is your opposite. Opposites attract, after all. But also, it's worth pointing out that he might have done some bad things, and he was familiar with Ashley. Somebody that would make her feel comfortable, or at least comfortable enough. Ashley and Tommy were both people that were at the top of their class. They may not have been friends, but they were familiar enough about each other, and maybe there was a little spark there. Kia also mentions that even though they were potential high school athletic rivals, that this might have also developed into an attraction, or a fatal attraction.
Oh, yeah. It was weird how everything started, you know, to come together. The Tommy that I knew back then, he was okay. He wasn't, like, he used to be mean to me. I mean, I was kind of bullied by him at the time.
It's worth taking a moment here to pause and say that we've done our research on Tommy. Tommy has been charged in four different cases. Each case came with two or three charges. Here is just a small list of some of the offenses that Tommy had against himself in the last 10 years, courtesy of the Milwaukee Public Records website. Tommy was charged with possession with intent to distribute weed, resisting and obstructing an officer, domestic harm and abuse. These charges were ultimately dismissed, likely because a deal was made. However, there are plenty of other charges that he was found guilty of. Possession with intent to distribute heroin, guilty. Possession with intent to distribute cocaine, guilty. Bail jumping, guilty. A repeat offense for manufacturing and delivering cocaine, guilty. Evading an officer while in a vehicle pursuit, guilty. Carrying a concealed weapon, guilty. Tommy is currently under active community supervision with a maximum discharge date of 2024. Kia was surprised to hear about all of these charges.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Also, could I bring up this one little detail? Tommy did not live far from my grandparents, but he also did not live far from Ashley either. I don't remember the address, but I know it was off of 55th and Capitol.
That's close. That's the same zip code kind of close. Now, let this sink in for just a moment. Tommy lived blocks away from Ashley's house. Are we on to something here? Could this actually be a viable theory with an actual motive? I go back to Kia to ask if she's talked to Tommy since the night she was robbed some 13 years ago.
No, I have not talked to Tommy at all. I think I had changed my number at the time. I never reported the robbery to the police. I was just scared. You know, like the old saying, like in certain neighborhoods, you know, snitches get stitches. That's what I was feeling at that time. I never reported it at all. And Missy, she never reported it either.
It's also worth noting here that while Kia did not report the robbery or interactions with Tommy to the police, she was questioned by the police, like almost every other close friend of Ashley's, following Ashley's murder.
I feel like if you have signs, start believing. You got to start listening to that one conscience of yours. Just start believing in it and go with it. Follow those hints. Follow those key points. Yes, I truly believe that it was Tommy. That would definitely be my number one guess. So, without a shadow of a doubt, I just automatically know it wasn't random. Definitely somebody she knew. He's the number one suspect for me. When I really started to kind of piece that together, it made sense. But the motive behind it really didn't start to make sense until I really, really got down and just thought about it.
Honestly, it's not over.
What I mean is, like, the case still isn't solved, and there's, like, a cloud hiding something, like, from this case. Like, I feel like whatever is hiding behind that cloud, it's about to come to the light pretty soon. I just feel like we're getting closer to catching that person who actually away from us. I have a good feeling, like, it's about to come to light. I have that feeling where it's like, look, this person is about to get caught. You guys are on the right track. Don't give up. We're almost there.
Kia was probably one of Ashley's closest friends at the time of her death. And I think that Kia knew a lot of what was going on in Ashley's head, probably better than most. That is what makes Kia's story and theories so interesting to hear. Perhaps the secret friend theory that we've been hearing about all this time is more plausible than we think. Perhaps someone listening right now knows and can help corroborate this. Our tip line is open 24/7 and is waiting for your texts and calls. One text, one simple phone call, could be the difference between finally cracking this case open. Next week, Love and Justice returns with an all-new episode that features Steve Spingola, a retired lieutenant detective with the Milwaukee Police Department, who supervised the homicide unit for the last 8 years that he was in Milwaukee. Steve joins us to share his thoughts on the struggle that cold case detectives have today while solving cold cases in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee has always been considered to be a very good department. I think it still is. You've got outstanding men and women there. But let's face it, I guess the quality of the cases and the quality of the work that's going into some of these cases hasn't been enough to clear a lot of cases. It's kind of an embarrassing thing where you can't solve a case like this and it remains open. And I think it's open, you know, for the public to guess. How effective is your police department? Do they have any faith in them, you know, clearing another major case?
This is a story you don't want to miss. Next week on Love and Justice. Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Maddie Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Editing by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. Very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio Los Angeles. If you have clues, this is your cue to give us a call on our hotline. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is a cash reward of $5,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.